to be in church today. I trust that you're fired up and ready to go. Me and Lonnie, we had a couple cups of coffee. We're charged up. Now, I appreciate the banjo playing, amen? All the playing, all the fiddle playing, piano playing, mandolin playing, bass playing, whatever you're playing. Now, Brother Skipper, I've been replaced at the piano. Yeah. But that's what us old guys do. We get replacements in, and we don't quit, amen. We're not going to quit on you. I'm liable to sing this week. Brother Jeff's shaking his head, yeah. But I like the schedule. They're working on it, and people singing tomorrow night, next night, tonight, today, the day. We ain't even into the day yet. I've been in a series of studies that we're calling Understanding the Bible, a very generic title, but it fits well because I guess the biggest issue we have as pastors, teachers, and Sunday school teachers, so on and so forth, is people don't understand the Bible or the things the Bible says. And there's a lot of private interpretations. Obviously, we're not to have a private interpretation. And so this book is a legal document, if you please, and it... If you've ever had a legal document and you let a lawyer read that thing, it's not open to private interpretation. It's read just the way it was meant to be read. That's the way this book is. And so with that said, in our series of lessons, we're in lesson 15. You say, how many lessons are there? I don't know. There might be 115 times I get done. And as always, I'll try to keep everything I've done, put it in print form, and these folks over here are not in, but they've been tremendously helpful to me in writing some books, and I've got three or four books written, and they're just a conglomerate. Brother, I couldn't write a book if my life depended on it. I'm not a novelist, because this lady over here, she is, and so she's helped me, but I am putting all the Sunday school lessons, the handwritten Sunday school lessons, in book form. There's 1st and 2nd Timothy, there's 1st and 2nd Peter over there. And one of these days, if the Lord don't come, I'll have Understanding the Bible in all of its lessons. And they're just scriptures, so that's available. And guess what? They're free. People donate money, give money to us, and we have them printed. And you can always go on Amazon.com and get a book by Brother Phil. Brother Phil Gabbert, not Brother Phil Skipper. I don't. He's probably got his whole section of books. But we're in John 15, verse 14. It's a very good verse of scripture because it's sometimes just read, and sometimes it's believed, but rarely is it practiced. But we'll use that as our basis for the lesson, and I'm going to teach this morning on why should I be baptized. Now, you may not think at surface value that this is a big deal. Can I share this with you? There's a lot of different beliefs on baptism today. Out in every, you can't drive 8 miles, 10 miles, and you'll have at least 4 or 5 different views on baptism. But there's only one view from the Word of God for the New Testament church. Amen. So I'm going to turn in John, and with me, John 15, verse 14. And he says, ye are my friends. Obviously speaking to those that followed him, and we would say to the Christian today, the person that knows the Lord, ye are my friend, because the world is not a friend to the Lord Jesus Christ. They may think they're a friend of the Lord, they're not a friend, and he's not a friend to them. Now, he loves them, and he died for them, but you only get to be a friend once you get saved. Let me go back. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Now, like I said, we read that kind of tongue-in-cheek, and we want to be called the friend of God. And we might even say, well, I believe that, but we don't practice that. Yeah, amen. Yeah. What group, I want to get into this easy, like what group or how could I say this, what group or passion or team? There we go. Get down on where we live. What team, passion, or group do you like to be identified with? You say, what are you talking about, Brother Phil? I'm talking about, you like the Bengals? Well, it's Red season. You like the Reds? Well, there's a lot of people that like the Reds and like the Bengals and like wrestling and NASCAR. Now I got you. And you know, people like to be identified with a group sometimes, especially in their entertainment world. Perhaps a sports team, or maybe it's a hobby you like. You're a hobbyist. I'm a hobby guy. I like hobbies. How do you let others know that you consider yourself part of that group? I.e., if you're going to go to a Reds game, you probably got your Reds baseball cap. It says big C on it, not to be confused with the Cubs. Okay? You might even have a red T-shirt. If you go as a group, everybody wear red that day. And you go down and say, why? They're identifying with that group. You're identifying with that group. You're for that group. And you want those people that forgot to wear red to know you're part of that group. You know what I'm saying. Get all fired up here. So, how is that similar or dissimilar to publicly identifying with Christ and His church through baptism? Baptism identifies you as a believer to those that see that public demonstration. So we're going to talk about baptism today. Baptism is an exciting step of simple obedience after you're saved, because it is an outward expression. I don't know how to say this without, I've had too much coffee. It's an outward expression of your inward decision. There you go. Would that work?
Amen. Yes, sir.
It is no way part of your salvation. This is kind of a prelude to the scripture I'm going to give you. But it is one of the first ways we can demonstrate to those that see and those that are around us that we want to obey our Lord's command and identify with that group of believers. Yeah. How come you got it when I had you down at the Reds game?
Well,
and when Bengals were winning, oh Joe, some of you even wore a Bengals jersey to church. I'm not getting on you now. I'm just saying we get it when it comes to identifying with folks. So I want to make sure I identify with the right group. I'm a saved, born-again Christian, and so baptism is the way we're to identify, and there's a whole lot more to it, but I just want to get you on the ground floor here as we start. John 15:14, ye are my friends. Can I say that to you this morning? Ye are my friends. But it's really the Lord saying it to the believer. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Baptism is a commandment for the New Testament believer. He's commanded to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. And we practice that around here. We see that baptized the other day. Had two or three people had gotten saved and they followed the Lord in believers' baptism. And this has been a kind of a hot place, and I don't mean literally hot. I mean, well, I guess Brother Tom did a baptism right here the other day. And was it cold, brother? It was cold. Cold as ice. I knew when I seen him in them waders. Those folks who were getting baptized were in trouble. But they followed the Lord in believers' baptism. They identified. I had a lady get saved one time. And I pastored a little church up in Indiana, Franklin County up there. Brother Phil, I don't think I can get baptized. I said, okay. I said, what's up? She said, I'm afraid of water. I said, you're afraid of water. Okay, I get it. And we dealt with that. We had to deal with that. You've got some folks that are afraid. And I've been preaching on the method of baptism, the mode of baptism, you know, all the stuff about baptism, what's it. And her husband stood up and said, I got saved when I was a kid, and I got baptized when I was a kid. But he said, I never stayed in church. I got out of church, and now I'm late in my life, and my wife has just got saved. I never lived up to the testimony of identifying with that group of Christians that I should have identified with. Is there any way that you'd consider rebaptizing me? Number one, my wife said, if you'd go with me, I'd get baptized. Say, what'd you do? I let them both get baptized, brother. I said, I'm good with that. I didn't believe I had to rebaptize him, but he wanted to. So if you say, what is it? It's a symbol. And I'll get some scripture here in a minute. It's a symbol of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's you identifying with that group of believers, that church, that you believe Christ died for you on the cross of Calvary. Now, baptism is not a part of salvation, I said. It's an important stamp. It's an important stamp of obedience to Christ. By following the Lord and believing in baptism, you're obeying Christ and showing others that you are, in bold letters, glad He's your Savior. That's what you're saying. I got baptized as a child. I got saved as a child. I was 12. Matter of fact, we were in a revival meeting in the spring of the year, something like this. And I was just a kid now. I was 12. And it was an old gray-haired preacher, something like that guy. Maybe me. I don't know, Brother Jeff. We all got preacher gray hair here, us preachers. Brother Clyde's got gray hair. Man, I'm looking out there. There's quite a few gray haired, but amen, amen. Yeah, watch it, Steve. And brother, he preached on hell, and I thought he preached on hell every night of the meeting. And I asked my mother later, I said, did he preach on, and my mother, I said, just seen her Sunday, she's still alive, and I asked her one time, did he preach on hell every night? She says, no, only one night. Why? What? I was under conviction, man. All I could think about was dying and going to hell. And then I got saved. And a while later, there were 21 people saved in that 7-day revival meeting. 21 of us. And I knew most of them because they came from school. And we invited the kids from the public school that we knew. And the Canada family came. And the Spartan family came. And the whole Canada family got saved. There must have been 7 or 8 kids. And the mom and the dad all got saved. And then Spradlings. The Spradlings came. Mrs. Spradling got saved. Ray Spradling got saved. They didn't have kids yet. 21 of us got saved. And 4 or 5 weeks later, 21 of us got baptized. And I never forgot. Now, salvation is a big thing, and it made a change in my life, even as a kid. But when I got baptized, that was an event. That was an event. I remember we had an old baptistry, got up in there, and that pastor boy, he said, why are you getting baptized? You know what I said? Because I got saved. I didn't know what else to say. I was 12 years old. But that was right. So baptism is an identification. Could I just say that? Point number one. Baptism is an identification. The Bible teaches that baptism is a symbol, or it's symbolic, an outward expression of an inward decision. You got saved, happened in your heart, you trusted Christ, then you followed the Lord in baptism. Now, there's a lot of, and I'll give you some scripture. I'm going to start in Romans 6, and I'm going to have us read down through verse 1 through verse 5 in just a second, but let me get there. But if you left this parking lot and drove down the road, this church would believe this about baptism. This church over here would believe something different about baptism. Some churches believe that baptism is the mode by which God saves you, but the Bible doesn't teach that. Religion teaches all those things. Some people call immersion baptism. Some people call sprinkling baptism. What does the Bible say? And we'll look at that. And you'll find this church saying, well, yeah, we baptized the other day and they got a little water out. He's done. That's sprinkling. That's not, well. My point, baptism is identification. The Bible teaches that baptism is symbolic. It's a symbol. In the life of every Christian, baptism is an important first step of obedience to God that declares to others your faith in Christ. Now, I've only said that maybe a little different about five times this morning. You say, why? Because I want you to get that point. And now we're going to share some scripture in just a moment. But subpoint, there are three subpoints under the identification part. Third one, just as a wedding ring identifies a husband with his wife, baptism identifies a Christian with Christ. That identify is with, that identity is with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Now, when you got married, that ring is not the marriage. That ring is a symbol of your marriage. And your wife has a ring of some kind, and I have a gold band here that I can't get off. And if I took it off and laid it down and, you know, went somewhere, she'd say, why'd you take your wedding ring off? She questioned me in a heartbeat. I said, well, I don't want to get my finger caught on the edge of a, you know, an eighth-inch piece of stock steel, and I don't want to pull my finger. Yeah, I've heard all those excuses. And then some of my friends, they don't wear that metal ring because they're welders, fabricators, mechanics, and that's very true. I was, shouldn't tell on myself, struck up an arc with that big welder, and I'm down, boy, I'm bared down. I'm getting down in that metal, and it's throwing sparks everywhere, and I had a pair of clogs on. Darren, don't be laughing. Caught my socks about on fire, son. I wasn't doing the Holy Ghost shuffle. I'm doing the Phil Gabbert idiot march or whatever you want to call it. It wasn't no happy dance. I'm trying to get out of them clogs. Teddy, you weld stuff. But in that chaos, I had welded a speck on my ring. Splatter. Oh, my goodness. That ring's a symbol. I didn't want nobody messing with it. So I took a micro pad and Dremel tool, and I ground that thing down, baby. You can't see it now. And say, well, that ring is a symbol of your marriage. Baptism is a symbol of what you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a symbol of your salvation, the death, burial, and resurrection. It's not the salvation. Now, these are all literal common sense things, but let me give you Romans 6, and I wanted you to read there in verse 1, down through verse 5. What shall we say then, the scripture says? Shall we continue in sin? And there was a lot of issue with the Romans there. Some of them were getting saved and wanted to stay doing the pagan things they always did. And Paul was beginning to change that. There were some Jews there that didn't believe totally right, as in all of Paul's ministry, they seemed to follow him or spring up everywhere he was to give a contention, divisiveness, and they didn't believe what he was teaching. So here the scriptures start, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Then he goes on with the thought by verse 3. He says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? And you say, well, what is that baptism? Well, I believe he's talking about the baptism of a New Testament saint that gets saved, and he's showing you what it pictures and what it does. And I made that tongue-in-cheek statement. Baptism is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection. And here's your verse on it, and I'll give you a little more on it in just a moment. But look, that's verse 3. Look at verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Now those are pretty good words from the scripture on baptism. Well, Brother Phil, that's probably how he got saved. No, that's not. Don't confuse the operation of the Holy Spirit of God, Colossians chapter 2, verse 11, with water baptism. Please, do not confuse water baptism with spiritual baptism. Take your Bible and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul talking to a church like-minded by the Romans, New Testament times. And he begins to teach here in chapter 12. And he says, and he's talking to them here about verse 9. Well, he's talking about the gifts there and the things that come along. And then he said by verse 11, all these works that one and the self-same Spirit, and that's a personification talking about the person of the Holy Ghost of God, dividing to every man severally as he will. So the Holy Spirit does many things in the church age. One of them is diversities of gifts and things that folks have. But watch this. For as the body is one, we're talking about the body of Christ here, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit, capital S again, same context, personification, the person of the Holy Ghost, the work of the Holy Ghost, are we all, watch the word, baptized into one body. Now, stop. Oh, I'll finish that in a minute. What does baptism mean? What does baptize mean? It means to immerse. A lot of times, a lot of folks, religious folks, when they see the word baptize, they think it's H2O. It's water. You know, you can be baptized in molasses. Maple syrup, well, that'd be good, man. And you get out there in the world, they want to be baptized in beer. They know what it means. How come the religious crowd can't get what it means? In the Bible, you're going to find spirit baptism, water baptism, the baptism of fire, the baptism of death. Matter of fact, if you get to look, and it's not a study like that, there's at least seven different baptisms in the Bible. And you're going to have to deal with that. So don't confuse water baptism, and water and baptism means immersed, immersion, to be put into, or if you please, to be put under. What happened? And we see this picture of death, burial, and resurrection. What happens? They dig a hole in the ground 6 foot deep. They put you in a coffin or a box, and they put you in the ground, and they bury you, and they put dirt on you. You say, what is that? Well, they didn't leave him sitting on top of the ground. They buried him. So it's a burial. So when you see that, in that verse I was reading, verse 13 of chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians says, for by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, are we all baptized in one body, where whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Now, folks that aren't Bible believers want to take and change that verse by using a Greek text, a corrupt Greek text at that. And I never even give you anything on my subtitle is Understanding the Translations, because a lot of the translations will take away from the very doctrine of the Word of God. And baptism is one of the major doctrines where people are goofed up. Amen. And by the way, we've had folks come through, Pastor Tom, Pastor 20-something years here. Maybe 21 or 2, I don't know. And I've been with you 13 years, with Jeremiah 1. He didn't fire me, Brother Phil. I don't know what happened. I thought I'd get fired, but he didn't. I'm still here. I got to watch it, though. Yeah, it's in the process. Paperwork takes a long time, especially when you're dead. Hallelujah. Ain't you glad you're saved today? So you sure that's all you had is 2 cups of coffee? Yeah, that's it. That's all, nothing else. But baptism back. We've had folks come through, as I was saying, and man, they believe all kinds of things about, well, baptism was one of the issues, man. I won't even get into it, but man, they've come through. They've come through. And we're still here, and I think one of the pastors at that time phrases was, what's it say out there on the front of the church? It says a Baptist church. Nick, I don't like to mention names. The Church of Christ don't believe that. Oh, sir. Well, I'm probably messed up, brother. And I'm not being mean. Catholic Church don't teach that. Methodists don't teach that. I can go right on down to the Pentecostal. I got a daughter when I was in the Pentecostal church, raised up in the Pentecostal church. Her name is Jindora Gabbard. She's married to my oldest son. Todd was just here and preached for us. Jenny, she told me, I've been baptized 21 times because they said I never got it. And they baptized me 21 different times over those years of her life. And the song she never likes to hear anybody sing is, "Shall We Gather at the River?" Jeff said, "Jenny, we're going to sing your favorite song today. Shall we gather at the River?" No. He did. He did. He remembered. Well, one night, she was at church, and Todd hadn't surrendered to the minister or to preach or anything. And my son-in-law, Doug Rogers, was preaching. And did Jenny get up and walk downstairs? And Bonnie followed her. She could walk in those days. She played the piano. She sang. And she was a good witness. And she went downstairs and led Jenny to the Lord. I'll never forget. A few weeks later, Jenny wanted to get baptized. And she had tears in her eyes. She said, that's when she told me, "I've been baptized 21 times. Can this be the last time?" I said, "Yes. If you're truly born again and have accepted Christ and you have the testimony, I've asked Christ into my heart and my life." It's very simple. If you've done that, yes, you may be baptized. More on that later in the book of Acts. And she was baptized. Didn't have anything to do with her salvation. See, the church she come out of had it connected to her salvation. They had it all messed up. When you get your doctrine messed up, you'll be a mess, man. You won't know if you're up or down. Baptism is your way of saying to everyone, "Jesus saved me." So the question is today, did Jesus save you? Well, I don't know. I turned over a new leaf. That's not salvation. Salvation is a conscience, heart knowledge, and heart asking, realizing you're a sinner, headed for hell, for Christ to save you. It's a simple childlike faith. Baptism is your way of saying to everyone, "Jesus saved me, and I'm not ashamed of Him. I want to live now for Him." And that's a public profession. Baptism also identifies a Christian with the local church and his doctrine. Some folks hold that baptism puts you into the local church. I don't. I can't prove it with Scripture. I believe it's an ordinance of the church and should be administered by the church, just like we see it all through the New Testament. But I don't believe any man has the power to put you into the bride of Christ. I believe that's the 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. Position of the Holy Ghost to place you into the body of Christ. The local assembly, yes, I understand about every time the word church is mentioned, it's in reference to the local church. There might be three exceptions. But we're not into that discussion. I do understand that and I do know that. But I'm talking about actual water baptism for the child of God that gets saved, and that it's an ordinance of the church. There are only two ordinances to the church, and they both have to do with the death, burial, and resurrection. Water baptism is what you said, the Lord's Supper. Oh, you're taking the unleavened too, please, bread and the unleavened grape juice, no sin. Because it pictures, again, symbolic of the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. And they have to do with His death, burial, and resurrection. And that has to do with His death, burial, and resurrection. Oh, Brother Phil, down in our church, we believe foot washing is the third ordinance. Well, foot washing has to do with servant leadership and nothing to do with the death, burial, and resurrection. That's why there's only two ordinances in the church. I've preached in churches where they have foot washings. Brother Tom probably had. Say, what do you do? It's okay. I don't care. But, honey, you don't want to see my feet. But it's not an ordinance. And that's why, if you wondered why doctrinally it doesn't have anything to do with the death, burial, and resurrection. It's servant leadership. And for Christ to gird Himself and to wash somebody else's feet, and He's the Master, He's the Savior, He's the King of the world, that's humiliating, that's humbling. And I like the picture, I like the preaching, but it's not an ordinance of the church. So I said number one, I'm going to say three or four things. Baptism is an identification. Number two, let me say, baptism is for every Christian. Every saved person. Acts 2, I wanted to take you there. Acts 2, 41 and 42. And I was still on that first thought. But Then they that gladly receive the word. And I like that. Look, it's the engrafted word of God that's able to save a soul. It's believing what the Bible says about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he done. It's the gospel, the good news that we preach. But the Bible says, and as they went on their way, Acts 2:41. And then they that gladly received his word. Man, I'm glad there was a day I received his word. Were baptized. Don't confuse the two. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Man, that was a day. And then in Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. We could go on and say many things there, but I just wanted to see you see how baptism worked even in the early church. So secondly, I wanted to say baptism is for every Christian. I did say it, but that's Acts 8. 36, 38. As they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And this is at a time in the Bible that Philip the evangelist was holding a meeting down in the Samaria area, and there were souls being saved and things were happening, but the Holy Ghost of God whispered in his ear, he said, I need you to go up through the desert there. By yourself, I'm going to run your path right across somebody else's path. And I want you to preach unto him Jesus. And that's exactly what he did. So that was the story of Philip telling the Ethiopian eunuch about the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 8 verse 32. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. He must have told him about baptism. Watch. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What does hinder me? What does hinder me to be baptized? That's a good question. He had already trusted Christ because he had showed him out of Isaiah chapter 53 that the prophet was talking about the Messiah to come, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says he opened his mouth and preached unto him Jesus. Brother, there's no other name given among men whereby you must be saved. Amen. And brother, that eunuch fell under conviction of the Holy Ghost of God, trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. He believed because he'd been up there. He'd heard the doctors and the lawyers. He'd heard all the Sanhedrin talking, and he'd probably been there every year. And he's still come away confused. Isn't that how religion is today? They may have their parchments. They may have their robes. They may have their tabernacles, their monasteries. But brother, that doesn't mean they have the truth. And he meets some old evangelist in the middle of the desert. I don't know if I think when he's done there, the Spirit moves him and puts him someplace else. I don't know if the Spirit took him and moved him. I got a feeling he let Philip, if Philip's anything like me, he probably let him walk a while. But the Ethiopian eunuch had a good question. I bet that was a good message he preached to him, Philip. And he says, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Verse 7. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart. So don't confuse what you believe for salvation and water baptism. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. That's why I'm careful with kids. We have a kids ministry in the Robs. Do a wonderful job. And the folks that help back there. And we see... on a regular basis, young people coming to the Lord, and even adults, they bring other folks to the Lord. But we're careful about the young folks. I watched them Wednesday night as the kids got up and sang. Man, they sang little hearts out. Did a good job. I see the Gerard kids get up and say, what are you saying? I said, we're careful with kids. We'll make sure they believe. And if they haven't believed and they're still a little confused, believe me, if you baptize them and they're not sure, they'll confuse baptism with their salvation. Amen. And it's not the same. I want you to see that today. You say, well, you're really... Yeah, the doctrine of baptism is a big deal in a church. In a Baptist church? We better have it right. Well, I want to join the church. What do I got to do to join the church? Man, it's easy to join the church. Number one, realize you're a sinner and get saved. Because we don't need no lost people joining the church. We don't need no religious people joining the church. Amen, Brother Phil. That's good preaching. You got to get saved first. And then when you get saved, you'll be able to partake of the ordinance of the Lord's Supper with pure heart. You'll be able to follow the Lord believer's baptism. And I would say you ought to get baptized first, then take of the Lord's Supper. Amen. Anyway, don't you love this time of the year? Flowers blooming. Are these real? Somebody shake their head. Yes. I'm about to die up here. I hope you don't have allergies, Brother Phil. I stopped up at Casey's a while ago. I was feeling mean. I got a cup of coffee. I got me a breakfast bowl. I hadn't had no food. Bonnie said, "You need to eat. We're plenty early." Man, that boy, I couldn't hear him. I said, "I can't hear you. I'm old. What'd you say?" He said, "No, I don't. Whatever you said, I was doing a card, you know." And he looked at me. "Have a nice day." I said, "Yeah, Merry Christmas." He looked at me. Took about two steps back. "Did you say Merry Christmas?" I said, "Yeah, it's Easter, right? Merry Christmas." I told the Rob boy the same thing this morning. We laughed. Don't get me going on that, amen. So I'm back. Baptism for every Christian, I said. I want to say, and I won't get, I'm about out of time. Baptism is going to take place soon after salvation, and I've got a couple other points, but I won't get them in today. Baptism should be by immersion. I want to talk about that. I won't get to all that today, but baptism being for every Christian, then there are three reasons to be baptized. Number one, Christ commanded it. Matthew chapter 28, verse 9. I'm not going to run there because of the sake of time. Number two, Christ was our example. Matthew chapter 3, verse 3. And by the way, Christ didn't need to be baptized other than it was a picture of his forecoming death, burial, and resurrection. And he sure didn't need to be saved. So don't get that goofed up. Number three, believers in the Bible practice baptism. Acts chapter 2, start anywhere. Verse 41, they follow the Lord in baptism. Don't confuse this with John's baptism. Amen. What do we say in Bible school and Bible Institute? You got to get the Jew right, the church right, and the Gentile right. And by the way, there's no Jew anyplace celebrating Easter today. Celebrating the Passover. It's a difference. It's not in this lesson. Number three, I said number two, baptism for every Christian. Number three, baptism should be by immersion, not sprinkling. That's Mark chapter 1, verse 9 through 10. I won't read. Acts chapter 8, verse 38 through 39. They immersed everybody. Any mode of baptism, any place in the Bible, in any dispensation, has always been an immersion in water. Who was that leper? Naaman? Go dip seven times in the River Jordan. I think he went under seven times. Say why. Well, it's a picture, that's why. Acts chapter 8, verse 38 through 39, I won't go. They were immersed in water. Romans chapter 6, verse 4, Colossians chapter 2, verse 12. These are just New Testament verses that solidify the fact that baptism in water is by immersion. Now, I guess I could get a little water on my hands here, sprinkle it on somebody, and call that a baptism, but that's not a baptism. Well, that's just what our religion believes. Well, the question that folks ask us all the time, why are there so many different denominations? Because they privately interpret that. This is God's word to be interpreted by the Holy Ghost of God. And if you don't have the Holy Ghost of God in you, you won't get this right. Because the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are spiritually discerned. And that's by the Holy Spirit. So once you get saved, things will start making sense to you. You ever wonder why people are so contentious about religious things and so contentious? Well, that's just, why do you have to say anything about that? And they get all upset and go, yeah. And they're so kind. Oh, yes, love everybody. They're passive aggressive because they're probably not saved. And they get upset when a saved person, hey, it is what it is. Say, oh, it's a narrow book. That's right. It's a real narrow book. So we'll stay with the book. I wanted to say baptism should take place soon after salvation. Acts 16, 30 and 33. Acts 2, 41. Acts 8, when we were there over there with the Philly. It happened right after he got saved. He got baptized. There's nothing wrong with that. As long as they understand they got saved. If you think there's a question, put it off for a while. Till they know they got saved by grace through faith. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Baptism should take place. Even if you were baptized, let me cover this because we have issues with this sometimes. We get this as a pastor. I have pastored 18 years, traveled the rest. Even if you were baptized before salvation, oh, does that happen? Yeah, it happens all the time, brother. Got people coming in from other walks. Oh, I was baptized into the church a long time ago. I'm good, brother. You don't have to baptize me. Number one, when did you get saved? Well, I got saved last week. I trusted Christ. And you think you're going to please God by coming in on your old religious baptism before you were saved, and now that you are saved, you think that's good, that's right, that's scriptural? You see where we go sometimes? People say, oh, you're going to rebaptize me. You weren't even saved, man. So even if you were baptized before salvation, you need to be baptized in accordance with Scripture after your salvation. How about this one? You've been there. God called me to preach, man. I know He did, man. I'm going to set the world on fire the next Billy Sunday. A couple years go by and the guy gets saved. Yeah, I know. I'm still called to preach. No, you ain't, you moron. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Behold, old things have passed away. You get it? And I've dealt with that. I preached 9 years before I ever got saved. Yeah. Be careful with that. Well. Baptism. The doctrine of baptism. You see how it can get if you're not careful. You don't stay with the book. So if you were baptized before you were saved, sprinkled, baptized into the church, I don't know, whatever your crowd did, then you get saved, you need to be baptized according to the Scripture after your salvation. Refusing to be baptized is like a wife who refuses to accept her wedding ring. I'm back on that ring thing. No, I don't need that ring, honey. I'm good. Yeah, we're married, but I don't want nobody to know. Well, how far you think you're going to go, child? You'd be lucky she don't put a ring in your nose. James 4:17. Let me quit with this and I'm done. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Don't you love them simple verses? One syllable words? Say, well, I just don't interpret it that way. Remember, it's a contract. It says what it means. It means what it says. Amen. So, well, I just don't believe it. Well, what if some should choose not to believe? God forbid. Yea, let God be true and every man a liar. I'm going to stay with that book. Thank God for the book. Well, that's my lesson on baptism. There'll be a little more next time, and we'll answer some questions that are obviously asked around the baptism time and in the next Sunday school lesson, be part of the lesson. So thank you for your attention this morning. Let's bow and return to our services and enjoy what God has done. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for a chance to teach and preach the Scriptures. And Lord, thank you for the doctrine of this book, and that it's straight and that it's clear, and that we can use it to grow, and that we can use it to be encouraged, and we can use it to be emboldened to stand and testify for Thee. In Jesus' name I pray and ask your blessing on the remainder of our service. Amen. Good morning, and God.